morning and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Friday, April 21st, 2023. President Salva Kiir says he wants to intervene and silence the guns in Sudan.
Even though we separated from Sudan, I still love Sudan, and I love the Sudanese people. If they want to do something bad, I will say, do not do it.
And no festivities in Khartoum as Muslims mark Eid al-Fitr.
The Eid celebration this time in Khartoum is different because of the fighting that engulfs the capital and the other towns across the country.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The fighting in Sudan has entered its seventh day, with aid agencies predicting a humanitarian crisis. Muslims in the Sudanese capital Khartoum did not celebrate the Eid al-Fitr due to heavy fighting going on around Khartoum International Airport and the military headquarters. Our reporter Michael Atit went out today and has some updates.
The Eid celebration this time in Khartoum is different because of the fighting that engulfs the capital and the other towns across the country. One of the signs of insecurity is that the prayer used to be conducted outside in the open area and around the mosque, or even in an open areas within the neighborhoods. But today the prayer was conducted inside the mosque, as people also fear the shelling and, you know, exchange of gunfire could, you know, attack, you know, can fall on any one of the faithful who are gathering for prayer. After the prayer, normally people, you know, visit each other and greeting each other, you know, visit houses. You see joy, you see children, women, everybody moving. But today, that has not been the case. It is only men that went for prayer, and after the prayer, they just came back to their houses. You could not see any signs of festivity, any signs of people celebrating the Eid as it used to be in the past. So this is because during the prayer, even there was a lot of exchange of gunfire, bombing, and airstrike going on within the downtown, as the warring parties keep on, exchanging and fighting themselves. So there was no sign of Eid celebration today so far in the place where I am.
Have you spoken to your neighbors or people you met on your way about how they are feeling?
People are disappointed, John. People are raising hope of when they are asking question of when is this, according to their description, when is this senseless war going to end? They are concerned about that the two warring parties are Sudanese. So they are concerned about Sudanese killing themselves over power struggle, over misunderstanding that could have been done on the table. People reach a consensus and stop this bloodshed. So people here are very disappointed. Some of them fear for their life and fear to protect their kids. A majority of them are leaving the town, leaving the city, trying to access the neighboring town, neighboring cities by road. Even the road itself, there are some reports of looting and, you know, theft along the road, which is giving also a very bad signal to those who are thinking today or tomorrow trying to leave Khartoum to go to the nearby towns such as Al Jazeera and White Nile and all these. So the situation is tense and unpredictable. They don't know when this war is going to finish or going to stop.
Yesterday, Burhan addressed the nation. What did he say exactly?
Burhan was trying to, first of all, this was his first appearance in 7 days since the fighting erupted. It was televised on the Sudan-owned state TV. And, you know, he was trying to, you know, win the confidence of the Sudanese people to stand beside the military and, you know, to fight the RSF. Similarly, RSF leader, when he also speaks, when he's also addressing people, he presented himself as a messiah, as somebody who is a pro-democracy person, who stands with the pro-democracy group, who are trying to, you know, to stand with the revolutionaries and get the country into a democratic rule. So both parties are actually playing the same role, playing the same game at the same time.
That's reporter Michael Atit speaking with me from the Sudanese capital, Khartoum. Still on Sudan, South Sudan's president, Salva Kiir Mayardit, says he wants to mediate in the Sudan conflict as soon as the warring parties adhere to a ceasefire and give IGAD team the green light to travel to Khartoum. Mr. Kiir says he has spoken to Sudan's military leader Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and paramilitary leader group of Rapid Support Forces, Commander Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, about silencing the guns and using dialogue as a means of settling their differences. For VOA News, Juliana Shiapai reports from Juba.
The regional bloc, the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, leaders held a virtual meeting to discuss the crisis in Sudan last week. Kenyan President William Ruto, President Salva Kiir, Ugandan's President Yoweri Museveni, President Ismail Omar Gule of Djibouti, and Hassan Sheikh Mahmoud of Somalia resolved to send presidents of Kenya, South Sudan, and Djibouti to broker a ceasefire in Sudan. President Salva Kiir was nominated to lead the team. Speaking in Juba on Thursday, while hosting a Ramadan breakfast known as Iftar, President Kiir said he is concerned about Sudan, adding that he is on standby and could travel to the capital Khartoum anytime.
Even though we separated from Sudan, I still love Sudan, and I love the Sudanese people. If they want to do something bad, I will say, do not do it. Now we are waiting for a sign from Khartoum to say there is no more sound of bullets and planes can land in Khartoum Airport. Then I will go.
President Kiir says he is aware many Sudanese living in Juba are affected by the fighting in Sudan. He says he will not give up his attempts to mediate between the two Sudanese rival leaders.
We are celebrating here in Juba, but our brothers in Khartoum are crying because they lost people who are dear to them. That is a very sad thing. The war in Khartoum has surprised us because we did not know there will be a war. We intervened to convince the two sides so that they can accept peace and not enter in more fights. That is not good.
Vice President in charge of Service Cluster, Hussein Abdulbaghi, thanked President Kiir for bringing together people from different faith and foreigners living in Juba to join Muslims in marking the end of Ramadan.
On behalf of the Muslim communities, we hope to support you and we call upon you to use all your wisdom to intervene between our brothers who are fighting in northern Sudan to bring them to dialogue, to peace. We have always told our brothers in the West that no one can solve the problems of Sudan except South Sudan.
The U.S. ambassador to South Sudan, Michael J. Adler, who attended Ramadan Eve's festival, says inviting people from different backgrounds to the iftar is a remarkable gesture.
This evening was an opportunity to reflect on the diversity of the population of South Sudan and the importance of inclusion. And those principles were certainly honored this evening. Of course, at this time, in our thoughts, we have the suffering of the people in Sudan, and we should all be communicating the need for a ceasefire and for peace.
With that, Ahmed, is a South Sudanese Muslim. She says she was delighted to attend the Ramadan breakfast hosted jointly by President Kiir and the South Sudan Islamic Council.
And this day is very nice day. The president of South Sudan making good iftar for Ramadan here. Alas, all the people around my country is today is happy, and everything is happy. Just meet from here to people in Sudan, the mother country, to be well, to take the fighting out.
The annual Ramadan breakfast brought together many dignitaries, two vice presidents, national ministers, and diplomats from the embassies of Sudan, Egypt, Turkey, and the United States, among others, to mark the end of Ramadan and celebrate diversity of the residents of Juba town. For VOA News, I am Juliana Shiapai in Juba.
Still in Juba, a group of non-governmental organizations operating in South Sudan under the umbrella of NGO Forum is calling on regional and international stakeholders to push for an immediate ceasefire in Sudan. The aid groups say they are also urging the warring parties in Sudan to open humanitarian corridors for civilians trapped in the conflict and to find safety. For VOA News, Manyang, David Mayer reports from Juba.
The NGO Forum, a group of humanitarian organizations operating in South Sudan, says Sudanese civilians trapped by the ongoing fighting in the Sudanese capital Khartoum and other cities are going through difficult conditions. Moy Santino is the chairman of the NGO's Forum in South Sudan.
A non-stop crisis, of course, it affects the humanitarian corridors, and the people in Sudan remain indoors in their house, and humanitarian organizations are not able to respond because they have not observed the ceasefire. And of course, as you know, when there's a crisis, you cannot move when the crisis is still ongoing because you may be in crossfire.
In a statement released Thursday, the forum appealed to the warring parties in Sudan to open humanitarian corridors, allow humanitarian response, and help Sudanese vulnerable groups like women and children to find safe places far from battle sites. Santino says humanitarian actors in South Sudan are expecting to receive thousands of Sudanese refugees in the coming days.
As the South Sudan National NGO, we appeal to the international community, the donor community, to support the humanitarian organization so that they are prepared in terms of having resources at hand, because we anticipate that any time, any day, if the refugees from Sudan will also be coming back to South Sudan. Not only the Sudanese people, but we also have our brothers and sisters who had taken refugees to Sudan. We anticipate that they are also going to come back.
He says the ongoing fighting in Sudan will contribute to major humanitarian crisis in two countries. John Dabi, Deputy Commissioner for the South Sudan Refugee Commission, says the country is working with refugee partners on a plan to welcome Sudanese refugees affected by the conflict in Sudan.
When you have a crisis across the country, across the border, definitely you're going to get people fleeing from the crisis, of course. So we anticipate there's going to be an influx, actually. But we're working on some contingent plan with partners, UNHCR and some related institutions for displacement, to see how best we can position ourselves. But hopefully by after the Ramadan, we should be able to figure out exactly what to do.
He says South Sudan needs resources for handling a potential high influx of Sudanese refugees and South Sudan returnees. Dabi says over 600,000 South Sudanese who were based in Sudan have since returned to the country. He calls on South Sudanese to open their arms in welcoming Sudanese refugees.
We are signatory to the 1951 Convention, and we have also open-door policy. So any of our neighbors who have been affected by conflict or any kind of challenge will be almost welcome anytime. To see how best, and our communities are hospitable, so they will always welcome any of the neighbors.
The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees or UNHCR, says South Sudan is hosting more than 330,000 Sudanese refugees. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayor in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, officials in Jonglei State hand over abductees to ICRC. Find out why after the break.
If you are in Sudan witnessing events taking place there, or if you have family you are talking to there, you can call us on WhatsApp and let us know how things are going there. Dial the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076. The number again, the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Authorities in South Sudan's Upper Nile State have welcomed the release of 40 former abductees who were captured by a militia group from neighboring Jonglei State. The Jonglei State authorities say 29 children, 9 women, and 2 men were abducted in Fashoda County of Upper Nile State after a group of armed militia known as the White Army invaded the area in December last year. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Juba.
The International Committee of the Red Cross, or ICRC, says it handed the former abductees to authorities in Malakal, where they will be reunited with their families. Jonglei State officials say they handed over at least 40 former abductees, most of them children, to the International Committee of the Red Cross, or ICRC, to facilitate their return to Upper Nile State. Elizabeth Nyadak is the Minister of Information and Communication in Jonglei State. Nyadak says the former abductees include 29 children, 9 women and 2 men who were recovered in Ayut County.
According to the State Feast Committee that were sent by the Honorable Governor of Jonglei State, Dina Jok Chagor, who sent them to negotiate the release of the 43 children, they were handed to the ICRC, and the ICRC took them to their capital, Upper Nile State, Malakal.
The children and women were abducted in Upper Nile State after a militia from Ayut County of Jonglei State invaded Fashoda County in November and December last year. Ataif Ajang Okech, Upper Nile State Advisor for Peace and Security, commends the Jonglei State government for handing over their former abductees.
The children have arrived in Malakal and now they are here with us. Their transportation was facilitated by the ICRC and UNICEF. We appreciate the government of Jonglei State for cooperating with the government of Upper Nile State to make sure these children and women are free again. Today is a public holiday for Eid. And I hope tomorrow, after the people return to offices, the process for their reunification with their relatives will start.
Speaking to VOA via a messaging application, Pierre Dorbest, the head of the International Committee of the Red Cross delegation in South Sudan, confirms that the ICRC received the former abductees from Jonglei State government officials. Dorbest says the children who were separated from their families spent months in captivity in Gul village of Ayut County.
I'm glad to report to you that yesterday we managed to contribute to the release of 40 civilians that were taken in Fashoda in November-December 2022 during armed hostilities. These people were released by the parties who had taken them after lengthy negotiation.
Dorvay says the ICRC did not engage in the political process or in the negotiation for the release of the abductees. He says his office responded to a request to facilitate the return of the abductees. He says the ICRC team assessed the health conditions of the released abductees on Wednesday.
The 29 children, 9 women and 2 men that we were receiving yesterday and transferred to Malakal were in good health. They were, although they were very happy to be released, and we had a medical personnel to check them. Three women were pregnant, so we had to be particularly careful of their health condition.
The head of ICRC in South Sudan says children are particularly vulnerable during armed conflict. He called armed groups in South Sudan to respect civilians.
I take this opportunity to thank all the actors that enabled this release to take place, and looking forward also in the future that parties to conflict and armed actors in South Sudan be respectful of the civilian population. It's very important that civilians are spared from hostilities.
Under international humanitarian law, children affected by hostilities are entitled to special respect and protection and must not be arbitrarily deprived of their liberty. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
We love to hear your remarks on issues in this broadcast. My colleague Nabil Biagio is standing by. Over to you, Nabil.
Thank you, John. We start with this recorded message.
I'm James Roy Major from Unity State, Bantu Town, South Sudan. Hi, Nabil and John Tanza. I'm calling for international to intervene about what is happening in Sudan. I'm worried indeed because one of my sister was being trafficked in Sudan since Saturday, when fighting occurred in a place called Kober, where they have been nearby staying there. He told me through a WhatsApp message that the fight erupted between Sudanese Armed Force and Sudan Rapid Support Force. And there is heavy shelling and a war plan are dropping bombs, and still there's fear because heavy shelling every evening is taking place. Heavy morning also is complaining like there's an engagement attack from both sides. My appealing to Burani and Imiti, let them accept ceasefire so that diplomats and foreigners should be evacuated out from Sudan. And thanks.
Sabr Isaac Khamis in Yambi of Western Equatorial State says, "Hi, Nabil and Tanza. I am not happy with how the AU and the international community are treating the ongoing fighting in Khartoum. Live video clips have shown terrible situations taking place in Khartoum, yet the international community and the AU are doing very little to arrest the situation that is claiming the lives of innocent people of Sudan. There is a need to mount pressure on the two warring leaders of Sudan, General Dagalo and Burhan, to cease hostilities by using all means, but the AU and the international community are just talking from far distance without issuing any serious warning. Why? Who will account for the lives and damages taking place in Sudan? I am so sad, and my condolences to the family who have lost their dear ones." Ruan Steven in Khartoum, Sudan says, "We are the war victims in Khartoum, Sudan. We are calling on the international community to help us. Many people, especially South Sudanese refugees, are in tough situations in Sudan." Peter Goj Anyang Majongdul in Block 3 of Bortown says, "The political unrest in Sudan needs regional intervention to stop the fighting, which has claimed hundreds of lives and stopped businesses since the fighting erupted a week ago." James Roy Majok from Unity State in Bantu Town says, "I am deeply worried about ongoing fighting in Sudan's Khartoum city since Saturday morning at around 9. My concern about my sister and her husband, plus her kids who are in Khartoum, Sudan." Mabor Alatrengo in Rumbeke Lake State says, "The ongoing fighting in Khartoum, Sudan will affect South Sudan economically. Therefore, I'm appealing to the government of South Sudan, headed by His Excellency Salva Kiir Mayardit, to implement the ceasefire he ordered so that the people of Sudan will be in peace again. May those killed rest in peace." This listener says, "Hey, VOA and all the listeners. I'm Molana Kirdau Adum from University of Juba. I would like to request the two parties, both government and opposition in Sudan, to settle their differences in order for the Sudanese people and neighboring countries to resume their normal duties." Madeng Malual Alwong in Juba says Governor Kwela Gwerekwel was acquitted by the court because the state can't prove their case. Now he's a free man and he wants to go for a medical checkup after the long detention. The same state has blocked his travels and confiscated his passport unconstitutionally and illegally. This is a total violation of his constitutional right, freedom, and liberty enshrined in the constitution. He's a free man now and can travel anywhere he wishes. The state should unconditionally return his passport and allow him to travel for his medical treatment. Jacob Dior Machueng from Rumbek in Lake State says, good evening, South Sudan in Focus. The situation in Sudan is disheartening. When Sudan bleeds, South Sudan does too, because we are still sisterly countries where citizens of either of the states walk in and walk out. The peace mediators should style up to bring normalcy to the affected innocent civilians. The Sudanese should also know they're tearing apart the future of the Sudanese people. This fan says, hello, John Tanza, Nabil Biagio, and Carol Van Dam. Good evening. This is both Bim Do Thai in Juba, Mangaten IDP camp. We, the South Sudanese citizens, we are very concerned about the conflict that erupted last week in Sudan's capital, Khartoum, because many South Sudanese citizens are living in Khartoum. So many people lost their lives and may continue to lose many lives in the process. Someone like me, I'm very worried because mommy and my sister and her sons are all there in that terrible situation and they have no way to run because guns sound in every corner of Khartoum. I'm urging the UN bodies if they could manage to evacuate those South Sudanese in their houses. Thanks, may God bless you all. Samuel Remo in Yei says, hi, John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. Sudanese politicians are having a political ideology. That's why they didn't open a corridor for humanitarian aid to pass to those who are in need, because they don't have a heart of humanity for the people in the country. And finally, Thong Chuni Yong Kwai from Juba, South Sudan says, to me, what happened in Sudan will stop the implementation of South Sudan's peace agreement. I'm still calling on the IGAD countries not to leave South Sudanese warring parties to implement South Sudan's peace alone because of the ongoing fighting in Sudan. The views expressed here do not reflect the views of VOA or of this program. We appreciate hearing from all of you. Keep those comments coming.
That's all we prepared for you this Friday. We now leave you with Jamnazi Africa and the song I'm Not Sober. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you missed this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer, Nabil Biagio, and our engineer, we wish you a good evening. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Someone just